You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and we come to you to share with you insights, inspiration, new ideas, old wisdom, all coming together to make our lives better and our world better. And today we're going to be speaking to you about feng shui. Now, that's an interesting art form that comes from the East, and you have an opportunity to participate in this through the New York Open Center. Joining me in studio is Araceli Brown, who is one of the program directors of the Open Center. Hello, Araceli.
Hi there, Kathy. So glad to be back on your show. Wonderful interviewer that you are. And thank you for welcoming our guest, which is Stephen Post.
Yes, and Stephen Post is a senior disciple of His Holiness Professor Thomas Lin Yun. Stephen was the first consultant teacher of feng shui in the U.S. He is the author of The Modern Book of Feng Shui, and he is the founder of GEO, the Geomancy Feng Shui Education Organization, and co-owner, principal teacher at the BTB Feng Shui Masters Training Program. If you want to open up your computer, you can go to opencenter.org and you'll find the BTB Feng Shui Masters Certification Program, and you can check out all the details. And we will be speaking more about this right here, right now. But first, I would love to go into, Stephen, if you don't mind, for many people who might not know what feng shui is, maybe we can give a little bit of an introduction.
Certainly. Kathy, you're very right in identifying Professor Lin Yun as the man who opened the roads to feng shui internationally. The Modern Book of Feng Shui was written by me and with his introduction, and our professional training program at the Open Center, now in its 22nd year, was founded at his direction and by three principal teachers, myself among them, and we've been able to bring professional feng shui education to New York. And this really was a dream that began with an inspiration to help New York City with feng shui, a theme that I hope we'll return to. Feng shui literally means wind and water, and it really derives from a couplet of about 1,700 years ago. The winds are mild, the sun is warm, the water is clear, the trees are lush. Wind and water, feng shui, the first words of each couplet, became synonymous with an art that seeks to bring into accord people and places and the universe. So it's much more than just moving furniture. It's a way of wish fulfillment that coordinates adjusting the environment, its vital energy, its heart, may we say, its intention, along with that of the individuals, so that the two together produce wish fulfillment and real comfort in the old sense of that word, to strengthen and console.
Wow, that's pretty broad. Yeah, it's very vast, but it does give a better perspective that this is so much more than how to position your couch. Maybe, yeah, you wanted to say something?
Well, I just wanted to say that one of the things about the art of feng shui is, I mean, a lot of it became a trend back in the 90s, and it got stuck in one place where it was about how you place your furniture, which I think people still identify with as that's what it is. But in actuality, it's a much deeper practice because it is a spiritual practice. It is an indigenous practice, and this particular one is Tibetan-based, but it's also studied with a variety of other shamanic practices that this training has to do with. And one of the things that I wanted to get across is that what they're teaching is how to work in various levels of your life, personal life, not just, you know, if you're doing better energy in a room or in a corner because you want, you know, a better relationship with your spouse or better relationship, maybe have a new boyfriend or something, it's not just about something like that. It also has to do with, I'm having trouble with my 17-year-old, and how do I work on that energy transference so that it equals and balances itself out so I find that he is going in the right direction that is best for him and not necessarily for me. But it brings up that type of balancing. You're working with relationships, so it's best for both. And it is about, because you may see your child going into the deep end zone of something that could be catastrophic. So you're working on several levels. You're working on different types of relationships. You're working on finances. You're working on health. So this is a very vast and deep type of practice, and that's why even the training is like 3 years long, and even that is too short. But still, Stephen, please go on, or Kathy, and talk just a little bit more if you need to about more ideas regarding feng shui.
Well, thank you, Araceli. And I could tell that you are very dedicated to this concept, and I believe you've used it in your own life at different times.
Well,
so,
it's very important. It's very important because, for example, a lot of people feel like their home is their castle, but sometimes you feel a little bit more not in your sense the best. And Stephen, you were talking about this on Saturday, that in the home, it isn't about the negative and positive. It's always about being in balance with your home. So if you feel like something, like even a bad thought that somebody sends you who doesn't want you to do well, you need to actually be like, it's actually like having your aura. Your doors are the aura to your house. Am I right, Stephen? I don't know. Tell me.
Yes, you know, the door is known as the chi ko, or the mouth of chi. And whether we look at an individual apartment or a room in that apartment, or even a geographical area like New York City, the entrances, the airports, the train stations, the harbors, all are the ways energy comes into a city. And so we give great attention to the importance of that mouth of chi, whether it's the door to your bedroom or the entrance to New York City.
Great. Mm-hmm. That's really amazing. So for people who this might seem like a lot of information, who are approaching it for the first time, maybe you can break it down a little bit and explain how it makes a difference. Like, I like that idea about the entrance to the door. What things might people consider for their home? Or how might they consider feng shui if they want to have it make a difference in their relationships, in their work, prosperity, that kind of thing? How does feng shui play into these different ideas?
It certainly is deeply related to fulfilling people's wishes about relationship, about economics, about well-being in general. And our approach to feng shui does so in a non-mechanical manner. Certainly, ordinary factors in life, the mundane, are extremely important. Important as well is the so-called transcendental, having to do with the invisible dimension, including the way your existing home conditions your life. And so if someone comes to me and they say, I want a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a life partner, in some cases, if a person is open and ready, there are many special environmental adjustments, or what are called personal chi adjustments, that can bring a relationship to you. But, you know, there is the giving with an open hand, but there's another kind of giving with a closed hand. If someone might utilize an environmental adjustment, it would certainly create a new relationship. But if that relationship recapitulated the past failed relationships, would that really be helping someone? And so sometimes simple adjustments will be dramatically effective, but other times it might be better to help that person transform their own energy, their inner beliefs, their own openness to relationship, and then the methods will bring them the person that really will be a true life partner. So there are many ways that this could be approached, well, relative to relationship or relative to economics or other areas. I tend to be very topic-specific and mission-based. I sometimes tell clients that I follow the Joe Louis Fight Plan, the great American heavyweight champion for 13 years, who said, plan your work, work your plan. So in truth, a comprehensive approach to understand and then to implement suggestions would be the real way to go. But that being said, I'll make a comment, if you like, on the entrance, a comment on relationship, and a comment on prosperity, if you'd like me to.
That would be great.
Okay. The opening, the entrance to your home, it's how the world comes to you. So, of course, it should be unencumbered. It should be bright. It should not be blocked. For example, if there's a wall that you meet when you enter your home that is shorter than the distance you are tall from the door, that's called the brick wall effect. It makes it difficult to move forward in life. Mirrors have sometimes been called the aspirin of feng shui. We made a joke years ago on NBC Dateline. Sometimes a client will call late at night, and like aspirin, one might say, take two mirrors and call me in the morning. But in this case, the mirror would be used in the many ways mirrors can be used. The Modern Book of Feng Shui distinguishes 14 or 15 uses of mirrors. But here the mirror would be placed there physically, directly, as an object, and then it would be, and so that's visible, yang. Then the mirror would be programmed using your body, speech, and mind to create space, to open the way forward for you. So that's a quick comment on doors, and the entry door. Relative to economics, one part of the home, one part of each room has a direct relationship to your economic well-being and abundance. And there are many, many adjustments that in essence can energize and bring life to an area which will tend to condition economic success or economic difficulty. One example that comes to mind is very traditional. A fish tank at the back left of your bed, of your living room. Again, reinforced with all of your power and intention to bring you more money. That would be one of dozens of methods to augment wealth and using an environmental adjustment. Relative to relationship, there's another part of the home, and perhaps it would be that section of the bedroom that has to do with relationships that you might energize with an appropriate plant, with an appropriate flower. An overview that guides us in applying these kind of methods is that we have different ways of understanding the energy, the dynamic, the influence of the home, and then we have a series of objects, the method of minor additions, adding a little bit so that 4 ounces, the method, might deflect 1,000 pounds of difficulty if it's strategically placed and also empowered or strengthened with your own intention. And so a plant, an orchid, another adjusting object as appropriate for that person might bring that love relationship that was sought. And so I've made brief comments about the door, about relationship, and about economics.
Very good. It struck me that actually in each of these different situations that you had something relating to a person's inner world, their intention, what they are wanting to say, that kind of thing. So maybe you can explain how feng shui works in tandem with a person's inner alignment or misalignment.
Okay. The name of your show, Heart Mind, sounds a lot like the Chinese word xin, which also means heart and mind, our essential nature. As I think of it, the art of feng shui has to do with creating a relationship between not only the conscious Catherine, but the bigger Catherine that includes your conscious and unconscious and subconscious. The Tibetans call that the la, the soul. One of the forefathers of psychoanalysis called it the it. A great master, Georg Grotek. And if you can relate, the you know, the you that governs you beyond what you know, and the universe, that relationship can create a fruitful development in many areas of life. And so feng shui combines both adjusting the environment so that the environment takes on a new intention that furthers your cause, combined with adjusting yourself, so that you're more open to what is best for you. So it has to do both with adjusting the environments of our lives, homes, businesses, or as I hope we'll speak about even New York City itself, and also adjusting ourselves. If we do both, we tend to get the strongest results. And really, feng shui as a spiritual path, as an art of personal integration and advancement, relates to the idea of harmony. In Chinese, the character for harmony, he, shows a mouth and a grain of rice. And harmony really means right order, right sequence. And that's how you put rice in your mouth, whether it's the rice of economic development or the sweetness of a developed relationship. And so while there are simple tools that anyone can learn and practice, and as well expert knowledge of handling this in people's best interests professionally, that coordination of inner and outer is at the core of the most successful kind of feng shui.
Beautiful. And I want to tell people about your program. So this is actually an ongoing program. It's the Feng Shui Master's Certification Program, in which people can train to become a Feng Shui consultant with a lineage in traditional shamanic practices. So it's a 12-month certification program, and the program
is a three-year program.
And it goes through the three levels, so that's it requires some commitment.
And there are three teachers. There's Stephen Post, there's Barry Gordon, and there's Rosalie Principali. They're the three feng shui masters who train simultaneously, teaching students of 3 years all together, actually, every year until they finish their three-year point. And we have a lot of international students who come in as well, and national people from other states who like to train, and there's career professionals.
Right. And in order to get the rates and everything, you have to go to the website. You can go to opencenter.org,
right,
and then we can ask you, Stephen, to tell us something about this program.
Well, the Open Center is a center devoted to all the people of New York. It itself is a doorway that reaches out to the public and invites the public to come in and to learn. And the Open Center wants very much to open its heart and mind to all of the city of New York. And for that reason, we want to do a blessing, ideally in the vicinity of the Belvedere Castle, which is the central place in Manhattan, on the highest hill, in the middle of Central Park, and a place what would be called the Taiji, or central position. If you do something in the center, you get an effect that goes everywhere. Many years ago, I put on a class on the feng shui of New York, in which articles were written in local magazines about that location, Vista Hill in Central Park, calling it Yang Central Station. And so that's the perfect place to do one of our very famous, powerful blessings that will be modified to be appropriate to that environment, but that traditionally uses rice, the origin of rice thrown at weddings, for example. And it's a blessing that removes obstacles, that plants lucky fields, as the phrase goes, and that elevates and makes the qi rise. And it is our hope that this blessing relates not only to the center of New York, but also to the goal of the Open Center, which is to benefit New York. And you apply feng shui to a city, to an urban environment. What are the essential factors that govern New York's functioning? How can we work to continue to improve our city that is so typified by reinvention and innovation and by the rising qi that our skyscrapers express? Our tradition, although rooted in Tibetan and Chinese culture and connected with Buddhism and the pre-Indian Buddhist Burn tradition of Tibet, is a multicultural tradition. And so both in the modern book of feng shui and in all of our practices, the way we conduct things can be done in a way that is in accordance with anyone's religious sense.
Briefly, if you could just let us know about the feng shui program. When is the onset of the program, the feng shui program?
In October.
In October. So if people want to actually participate, then they would register.
They would come into the one-day program first, which is in June, and there'll probably be another one in September. Mm-hmm. And once they do that one day, then they are they can go into the main program.
Okay, that sounds great. So people can get engaged with the program as they go forward. And Stephen, I understand that you also are a private consultant in feng shui. So if people want to connect with you and find out more about the work that you're doing, how might they do that?
Which would be easy to reach me at. It is 415-828-8689. That would be the easiest way to reach me. Geo Feng Shui will get you to my website, and also the New York Open Center has all the details about our program. It is geofengshui.com.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're listening to Heart of Mind, and I want to thank you for joining us today. I'm Catherine, the host of this program, and I thought it would be nice to have a broadcast where maybe we speak a little bit about where we are on our journey and maybe look at how we can come together to thrive during times of challenge. The world does seem to be in challenge, so let's go with a little bit of fun. I'm going to play some David Bowie, Starman.
Didn't know what time it was, the lights were low, oh, oh. I leaned back on my radio, oh, oh. Some cat was laying down some rock and roll, that was all he said. Then the loud sound, it seemed to fade, came back like a slow voice on a wave of fade. That weren't no DJ, that was Hayes. There's a starman waiting in the sky. He'd like to come and meet us, but he thinks he'd blow our minds. There's a starman waiting in the sky. He's told us not to blow it, cause he knows it's all worthwhile. He told me, let the children use it. Let the children use it. Let all the children boogie.
Again, you're listening to Heart of Mind. I'm Catherine Davis, and I have, as of late, begin to withdraw to some extent from the political discourse. I think I've reached sort of a maximum state of listening to the politics, what's going on in the White House, what's going on across the Democratic parties here in Democrat, Republicans, healthcare. And it isn't that I'm unconcerned. It's just that I somehow think that I overdosed. I got an overdose. And what happens is now when I hear a particular voice, it just, you know, drives me a little bit crazy. So I don't want to really listen to the daily discourse. I think I'm going to be switching over to doing more just reading the news and looking at it from that perspective so that I can avoid some of that energy that comes from that discourse of conflict. And I actually listened with great interest to what was going on. You know, I listened to the whole hearing and I listened to the discourse back and forth, and I was looking at what was going on behind the scenes, and I just reached my point of digestion, I guess you could say. And I began to move back into my space where I get more reward from my spiritual perspective. When I start to get it deeper into the meditation, sitting into nature, relaxing, feeling the world from the perspective of its life-giving force. I had a chance to go to the park near, I was in Prospect Park, doing a little bit of meditation and Qigong, and I was able to really feel the energies and the gentleness and the sweetness that is actually in the world. It was very crowded. I tend to prefer an environment that is quieter. Normally I would go out maybe 7 o'clock in the morning or even earlier in the summertime because I like to actually watch the sunrise. But it was very crowded. I was there in the afternoon with someone who was, we were doing Qigong. So there were people everywhere and children playing and noise and dogs barking. And so there was like this cacophony of human noise that was taking place in the park. But at the same time, we found this beautiful shady spot underneath the trees. And we were able to sit down and do a really deep meditation. And this cacophony of human sound was almost like a melody. It was like music in the background. And one of the things that really made it that for me was that it was very natural. And it was an energetic flow of people in that place of relaxing, of enjoying themselves, picnicking, playing. You know, there were people playing volleyball or kickball, and it was just, you couldn't find any area of the park that wasn't in some ways engaged. And I couldn't help thinking how happy the park was. It just seemed like if the park itself, if the land, if the trees could talk, and they do talk, but a different language, it would be that this is what I was made for. I am here to spread out this carpet of life for the human family to come and play in my surface, to play in my grass, to be shaded by my trees. And it just felt extremely harmonious. And it was a way of really detoxing from the political discourse and from the level of stress and worry that can be generated by the news media. And so I recommend that everyone take that time to just relax, sit around with your friends, and enjoy yourself, because it's a way of reminding us that we are indeed human, that we are indeed part of this beautiful human civilization, part of the planet. And there's a real strength there that we can lose track of when we tend to focus so heavily on the cyber world, the world inside of a screen, whether it's a computer screen or it's a television screen or it's a movie screen or it's one of our smartphones, you know, peering into that screen. And I had a sense of how limited our perspective becomes, how the framework gets narrowed down into this box and we become endlessly reactive to whatever is coming through the box, whether it's music, whether it's news, whether it's sports, whether it's education, maybe taking classes, but it really is a narrowing down of the human experience. And what it does is that it starts to narrow down our, I believe, our thinking capacity and our feeling capacity and our experiential capacity, almost to the point that we live our lives as cyber beings, like we're almost non-existent except for having these cyber boxes, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Twitter, whether it's YouTube, however it is, people are online trying to get followings and all the likes and to promote themselves, to promote their businesses, to get their attention and ego gratification. And so that we've been reduced to this box. And so for me, it began to almost feel life is in the box itself. You know, it's what's important is what's going on the TV or what's going on in the computer or what people are saying on their Facebook or whatever kind of meme is floating around town. And then after a moment, I began to think of myself, well, if all of the life that we are engaging in is inside this computer or inside this phone, then what am I? And so I began to have the sense that humanity is beginning to respond to life as if we are the reflection in the mirror. So imagine you're sitting there looking in your mirror and you see your reflection. Well, that's what we're reduced to, as just this face in a mirror gazing into our TV sets and computer screens and phones. And so we're just there like a reflection, and all of life is taking place inside that box. And it's just a real reversal of reality that we have engaged ourselves with because of the technology of our times. And so I'm not speaking against it. I certainly, I don't have a television, but I certainly use computer and the phone and use that to engage, into the wider arena of what's happening in the world. But it was really good to get away from the technology and sit on the grass, sit on the ground, and have a consciousness of breathing the air, of feeling the breeze across my skin, looking up and seeing the leaves rustling in the trees, and watching the light filtering through the leaves, and watching how the light dances on the ground as it filters through the trees. And in a way, sound is the same. It kind of, sound gets reflected and refracted until it almost becomes a melody. And you can immerse yourself in this world that's very natural and very harmonious. And it's a good exercise to do because it allows us to be reminded of who we are, truthfully, is that we are biological living beings in a biologically living world. And we can perhaps gain some perspective on the cyber communications that we are connected to in our everyday life, whether that be working or going to school or by any other means. Even research nowadays, it's hard to even find books that you want. We look for them online and we get PDF documents. I certainly do that a great deal. So it really is important to take the time to move away from the box, the screens of our world that tend to absorb our attention and fill our mental space with things that are outside of ourself, with whatever propaganda is being served up by the various different political forces that we engage in. So it's just a thought. I love radio because radio is more about the sound. It's about the energy of the voice that you're listening to. You can tell if a person is engaged or excited or peaceful, and you get a feel for what's happening in the person's heart, what their gut feeling is about things. The voice in its natural form delivers so much of who a person is, and I feel that we can sometimes sometimes lose that if we're only engaging in the video film experience of what a person is saying. So from my perspective, radio fits into that cacophony of human sound. And so I appreciate radio, I think, above other forms of communication. And this is really a health issue, because when we are engaging in this technology, we're sitting in front of screens that have radiation that are going to affect our health on some level or our energy on some level. The lights and the radiation feeds into our eyes and can have an impact on our eyesight. And depending on the levels of headphones that we're using, it can have an impact on the capacity and quality of our hearing. So it's a technology that is not conducive to our health, and it's something to consider as you move through life, to give yourself some of that natural space. Even if it's sitting on a bench, there might be traffic going around you, but to feel the sun on your shoulders, to be able to breathe the air, however you might judge the quality of that air, there's something about being in that natural human arena that can bring us back into balance and allow us to get in touch with the truth of who we are as biological, spiritual beings. And on the other, we can go deeper into that when we go from the exterior self to the interior self, and that's where we can engage in the power that we have to transform and to heal ourselves. So it's a beautiful thing, and I would like to suggest that all of you who can get out there in the daytime, and even if it's for a few minutes, a couple of hours, to enjoy being out of doors. If you can get in nature, get into nature, actually sit on the ground, lay on the ground. The ground, the earth, is very powerful. It has a tremendous force of healing energy, and it will also drain the toxins from your system energetically, certainly. But once that toxicity begins to move on an energetic level, then the other parts of your body can begin to detoxify as well. And as the exhaustion leaves your body, then you can begin to feel the energization being revived by nature and by being in the world. It's just really powerful. And I wanted to put that out there for you. One of the things that I've been really working on is looking at historical perspectives. And the reason I do that is because in our current age, I'm not really finding the satisfaction in what's being told, what's being taught. And I really enjoy looking to the ancestors to see what they had to share in order to find guidance.
Malaika, nakupenda malaika. Malaika, nakupenda malaika. Ningekuwa mariwe, ningekuwa jaja. Nothing and a man is in a way. Ningekuwa mamalaika. Nothing and a man is in a way. Ningekuwa mamalaika. Esa. Zasudu waduhu nyingu. Esa. Zasudu waduhu nyingu. Na minifo nyeji. Kingana mwezi nyo. Na washing and a money sit away. Ningakua, Mama Laika. Nashing and a money sit away. Ningakua, Mama Laika. Eva. Kidege. Kukuwaza kidege kidege kukuwaza na kidege na minipo nyeji kigana mwezi nyo na shinga na mani sina we Ningekuwa mama laika Nashinga na mani sinawe Ningekuwa mama laika Esa Zasudu waduhu nyungu Zasudu wadu nyengu Na minifo nyeji Kinga na mwezi nyo Na shinga na mani sinawe Nyinga kuwa oma malaika Na shinga na mani No way, Ningakua, Mama Laika, Ningakua, Mama Laika, Ningakua, Mama Laika.
I hope you've enjoyed today's show. We heard an interview featuring Stephen Post, a Feng Shui practitioner, and you can find out more about him at the New York Open Center, or you can go to his website, and that is geofengshui.com, G-E-O. FENGSHUI.com. And we also heard a muse that I offered you talking about taking a break from the media world, the world of news and the world of stress. And getting in touch with nature, getting in touch with your own being, that's so important. We played a few pieces of music, opening with Frog Dancing by David Anthony Clark, and then we heard Eight String Religion by David Darling, Starman by David Bowie, Malaika by Angelique Kidjo. And we're going to close the program with The Way You Look Tonight by Cassandra Wilson. I want to invite you to find out more about our work with Qigong and healing. You can go to the website qigongonline.net. That's qigongonline.net. And if you want to find out more about this program, Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium, you can check out our website, heartofmindradio.com. I do teach an ongoing class on Saturdays at Studio Maya in Brooklyn, Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. And on Sunday, I have a series on Sunday mornings from 9:30 to 11 a.m. It's on 24th Street near 8th Avenue. If you want to find out more about that or other healing work that I provide, feel free to call 347-480-1694. Thank you again for being with us today. I'm Catherine Davis, and this is the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. Stay tuned for more great programming, and tune in again next Saturday at 6 p.m.
Just